In this podcast, I will be reading from my work-in-progress fantasy novel, Knowledge is Power. In the world of Iota, the power of the written word reaches far beyond the pen stroke. Magic-born scribes known as inksayers script immense power into the words that scar their flesh. They have done so for centuries, morphing the world around them with every word of spoken writing. Rekmeet is a silencer, a member of an elite force sworn to oppose the magic in their land. Meinhort is the only kingdom where it is outlawed, and Rekmeet is barely seen outside its walls. As his world widens and his mind is opened, long-held truths will be called into question. He will have to reckon with his plight quickly if he is to make it out with his sanity intact. Forward. Being human is such an incredibly puzzling experience. In so many ways, we are tied, connected, and united in our idea of what it means to be conscious and to think. But in other ways, we vary drastically. Imagination is one of those beautiful areas where there are so many variants. Some of you can visually recall your favorite scene from a movie in almost perfect detail. Some can hear the sound of a train passing by, the rickety noise of the rails crying out beneath the pressure. When some of you think back to your grandmother's house you used to spend so many nights of childhood in, the smell of it fills your mind and takes you back. The idea of a favorite meal will spark the subtle taste. Some of you can recall the sensation of your first kiss or the familiar grasp of a lover's hand. Some of you recall those sensory memories as close to real life as possible. For others, it is like having the real sensation distilled, every subsequent layer a different slice of how someone can think. Some experience this for all the senses, some for a handful, while others only experience one. There are even some like myself who possess no sensory recall, real or imagined. For all of those differences, we all carry a similarity. We all have the ability to imagine, to perceive and conceptualize things we've never experienced before. Your imagination is unique and special to you. You should never forget it. You should take it with you into every book that you read. I hope that you do so with this one. I know I could use your help. I hope you enjoy this piece of myself. YJ Sargis. Prologue, Blood of Life, Regnimitas, 35 SMC. Patches of grass that had long since become overgrown, flattened beneath the feet of a group that moved in unison. Mountains ringed the horizon behind them. They were dressed in white robes made of fine fabric. The material, nearly see-through as it moved in the breeze. Though not quite, for patterns of black along the surface of their skin were visible through the robes. Like tattoos, black vines stretched along the arms of each of them, branching off of one another and creating vague tapestries under their clothing. Wherever their skin was bare, the tattoos continued. Uncovered in the light of the day, the truth was shown. Black tendrils clawed at the back of their hands, raising out of the skin like a brand turned against its host. Their skin closest to the tendrils' anchor points, bunched and tightened from the restraint. Some of them had the same markings along their necks, crawling up from their chest and bridging the chin. There were four men in total, two on either side of the only woman among them. At each of the figure's hip was a steel sword, a glass core at the center running from hilt to tip. A black cloud of monstrous tendrils writhed within the blade. They all differed in skin tone, their facial features distinct of their own people. The man on the outer right was the darkest among them, and had three lines around his neck, scarred with a ceremonial knife and filled in with settled gold. He bore no facial hair, and had cuts running from above his eyes, ringing where his eyebrows should have been. The cuts were filled with copper. Both ears were gauged with two solid pieces of silver. The woman at the center stood out most amongst the others. Her pale skin seemed to radiate in the sunlight. Her violet eyes stared from beyond her white face and at the world before her. Her skin was soft and wrinkle-free, smoothed like polished glass. The robe she wore was open at her back. The word of knowledge clung to her skin in the ancient language. The letters rose from her flesh, like a whale breaching the surface, tendrils breaching off from each one. Yvonne, the marked child, born with spoken writing upon her skin, destined to share her gift with the world, to bring magic to the people of Iota. She was found by the monks of Rant, abandoned at the mountain's cliff as an infant. Since her discovery, the word had pulsated and the tendrils moved. When she was old enough to write, there was no denying her gift. She wrote in a language believed to have died long ago, and when she did, she gave new life to the words with which she wrote. The knowledge she was born with wrote magic into the world. It did not take Yvonne long to realize that she could share that magic with others. And so she did, venturing into the world as soon as the monks deemed her ready to leave. The marked child traveled Iota, spending time with every tribe and people she came in contact with. She shared her blood with them and created her own people. The Inksayers, teaching them the ancient language so that they could write magic into words. She visited with every village she came across, staying long enough to make sure that the next generation would be born of her kind, and then moved on. The Yvonne always made sure to keep the first of her children close to her. The monks of Rant, the smiths of Withersteel, the fishermen of the East Coast, and the forest dwellers. She had visited all of them, had shared her blood with all of them. Only one race remained, the Nichta of Regnamidas. The marked child came to a stop as they no longer stood on grass, but instead found themselves walking through sand. "What is it, mother?" the monk to her immediate right asked. His skin was mildly darker than hers, his hair short, spiraling patterns cut bare along his scalp. "Look ahead," Yvonne said as she pointed forward. Ahead of them a sparkle gleamed, the barrier of light around it expanding and contracting. "The City of Glass?" the fisherman asked. His skin was almost as dark as the blacksmith's. His face was weathered but smoothed. Even the lines of his forehead were all but gone, worn away from years of being splashed by the salt of the sea. "I've never been before," she said as they continued to walk. As they got closer, the structure started to come into view. The majority of the buildings, though rarely was there one more than a story tall, were made of solid glass. Light refracted at their center and split, scattering the color spectrum to the edges of the walls. The walls shone of beautifully rich colors as they walked through. The houses themselves were entirely see-through. Yvonne had seen many things in her travels, but the way the people looked at her here would haunt her forever. As they passed, most of the people paid them no mind, continuing about their business indoors as they normally would. They wouldn't dare come into the day, even if they had wanted to see her. The Nichta were sensitive to sunlight. Most of them would burn within seconds. But still, there were others who stared at her with fear and shock in their eyes, their violet irises tearing into her from behind their pale white faces. She understood their looks, but it didn't make them hurt any less. All of her travels had led to this moment, to finally be with her people, and they hated Yvonne for it, all because the sun did not burn her. The rays ignored her flesh, ever drawn to the richest black of spoken writing. Sunlight poured into her word and the power radiated. Knowledge kept her alive, and it could do the same for them. "We did not come here to share my blood with the Nichta," Yvonne said finally, after some time in silence. "Why come then?" the forest dweller asked, his long nose and square face forming into an odd look of consternation. "To remind myself why I never will," she replied, not looking back as she talked, her eyes ever focused before her. "And why is that, mother?" the blacksmith asked, the fractured light dancing off of the gold along his neck as he spoke. "Because they are afraid and know of nothing else." I will be recording each chapter as I write this draft. Because it is still a work in progress, things are subject to change, but I think it's enough to paint an accurate picture of what I am working on. The song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons, by Attribution 3.0 license, at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.